Welcome to Sword and Board, a Dungeons & Dragons Onslaught podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Sword and Board, the only Onslaught podcast.
There are some streams I've seen at least.
So we're here and ready to give you content. Yep. With me, I've got Nick.
Hey guys, glad to be back. Finishing up our faction run.
Yeah, so we've done. Obviously, some expansions have come out, this is our last base one. This is the, as you can see here, this is the many arrows, sans arrows.
Yeah, count the arrows.
Count the arrows. Let me know if you like this little setup we got. I'll be putting miniatures on here when we talk about factions or characters from now on. If you think it's cool, let us know. If not, please be nice. Please be kind. If I showed you a picture of how this was actually like set up,
if I had to use a word, I would say precarious.
Don't laugh too loud. Don't breathe too hard. Don't move the thing. But eventually, what I'll do is I'll be trying to build terrain for the little spin table. So when I put heroes on it, it'll give them more of a platform to look cool on monsters.
Gravitas.
Yeah, just give it a little something. And so down the line, I'd also like to talk about like maybe reviews on the WizKids frameworks models. I bought three more of those. So all my Zhentarim were proxied. I did all those. And then the new set came out, and I've got proxies for all of them but the Bard. I don't think they make a Bard framework. Which is fine, but also I really like the Geisha, like that model. I think it's really cool. And so I don't know if I want a proxy, but if I proxy everybody else.
You know what? Speaking of the Geisha.
Oh, my bent axe.
Then, thanks to an error in WizKids shipping, two of them in pack.
You could do like a little like evil twin campaign.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is.
That'll actually be pretty kind.
This is straight into D&D horror sessions right here. Two of these.
Yeah, right. Do words of what? What's her ability? I've got her card right here.
Words of terror, I think.
Words of terror, yeah. Just words of terror, feign death, and that. But we're here to talk about many arrows. Many arrows, if I had to base what... Okay, so we know more characters are coming. Another four packs are coming. But as of... And it's coming out soon? Like next month, I think?
Yeah, not in time for Gen Con, I think.
No. And also Gen Con released all their prizes.
Yes.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool. It's mostly the 2 OP kits. It's really the 2 OP kits, and there's like one like... roll to see if you get a Kobold Skeleton kit.
Yeah, the Kobold Skeletons. No, that's a different... if you qualify, I think far enough, you can get a Kobold Skeleton kit.
Okay.
If you go far enough.
If you've seen the Golden Chest, it's mostly that kit with the golden decks and everything, so that's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited.
And factions, promo faction specific guy.
That's cool, yeah.
Pretty cool.
I think there's
one... for maybe it's one like for first place in each qualifying round. There's a foil item deck.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it actually comes in. So that it's the OP kit they showed. So it's actually the golden chest, two foil decks, and all the dice. And then they're gonna sell there's an OP kit for that, and they're gonna sell the chest just separately. So I'll be buying the chest just because it's cool. I'm a whale. But I'm pretty excited for that. So, you know, maybe we'll be next podcast. We'll probably be going over the benefactor. We'll have that in, and I'll have the models built and painted at that point. I got a beholder done. I've got a boule done, and I need the cave defender packs is out of stock everywhere. So I've given up trying to get it. So I've been just buying models to like build for it. Because models are the
game. I'm interested to see what you can do with that. I haven't seen that yet, even so. I'm interested.
Oh yeah, it's my beholder came out pretty good, actually. I was kind of surprised. But anyway, back to many arrows. We are going over the faction. Oh yeah, so their faction identity is like the beatdown, right? So there's like tempo control beatdown.
They've got a little bit of like mysticism in there. They kind of share, I think, a little bit of identity with the Zhentarim, but I think they're a little bit more skewed in the beat face direction.
Yeah, in the FGC fighting game community would call them Unga Bunga, where you just like, it's just like Ryu's like can be played Unga Bunga, where it's just like you just move forward and hit button, like you're just such a, it's hard to get away from you, just like hit all your normals and you just beat them by doing normals. So like I was in the tournament at Adepticon and Paul Heaver, who was the 3-time world champion of X-Wing, sat down across from me with many arrows. So I'm like, haha, Paul, you may be smart, but I've played this more. And he continued to almost table me just by giving me the smackdown. I was sad. I'm like, no, my one chance for greatness. But here, we'll start with all the characters here. So
yeah, I'll do, while you're pulling that up, I'll do a little quick
Go for it.
Rundown. So as far as like their stats go, they're not really too far different in terms of like damage or anything or movement from any other factions. The only thing to note is they, oddly enough, they have the lowest AC on average.
Okay.
Not by very much, but they do have the lowest on average. But they have the highest hit points, which is arguably more important, and they have a bigger margin on that. So they're also probably the toughest team.
Also, and, their druid has an every turn heal.
Yeah, consistent heals too. Like
that. Yep. So it's they're an interesting group. I don't, as of, if I had to rate, again, we talked about this earlier, if I had to rank all the factions like right off the cuff, I'd probably put these guys at the bottom. And I'm not, they're not like Empire State Building where it's like the top faction at the top, the bottom faction at the bottom. I just think if I had to pick 1 through 4, they're 4.
Yeah, I believe that's been mentioned on the Discord that from, I mean, there's not many tournament stats to pull from. But the little bit they do have is that many arrows were a little bit below the other three, but not by like too much, and the other three were pretty balanced against each other.
Yeah, I wonder if a lot of this is when you go to tournaments, they already have armies set up, and you just kind of pick a, sometimes you just pick a side and sit down, you don't need to bring an army. So I'd be interested in the stats when like you go to an event and then everybody has to bring their own army, right? Like their own warband. So when there's actual choices, right? Like, I'm choosing.
I'm the only one to see how Gen Con.
Yeah. I'd like to. I'm probably gonna bring my Zhentarim just because I've proxied them all and I'm proud of them. But maybe Harpers with some of the new. Hopefully by the time Gen Con, we'll probably go over the new Harper expansion just to talk about it. But anyway, we'll start it off here with the Paladin, or I'm gonna destroy this.
Do it.
Yelvolda the Unbroken.
Nah, I think you nailed it.
All right.
Oath of the Ancients Paladin.
The Paladin. Quick rundown. I wonder. Let me see. So this camera's new. Let's see here.
Oh, we're getting bold.
Yeah, no.
You can pause it there if you want to take a quick.
Yeah, no, back. I'll just go it off. So in the future, we'll I'll have some way to get the cards up. This is still a work in progress, but I think we got this. Looks pretty good for what it is. All right, Yevolda the Unbroken. Great axe, standard action, melee damage, one enemy at range 1, plus 3 to hit, 3 damage. I will say that she has that coveted 3 for the damage, critical.
Yep.
Plus 1 damage against rooted. That will, foreshadowing is literary form of, so rooted is really big for her. But if she crits, she does 4 and roots them. Then slasher, plus 3 to hit with your melee attack if the target is rooted. So you get plus 6 for 3 damage. That's huge. That's the biggest plus. And then her XP gain is after an adjacent enemy character is defeated. So cool. She doesn't have to do it. Someone else can do it around her and she gets stronger. First special ability in Staring Strike. Bonus action, Arcane. Or Divine. Bonus action, Divine.
Yes, Divine.
3-turn cooldown, gain a Staring Strike after you hit with a melee basic attack. Target gains rooted. Next is Nature's Wrath, standard action, divine, 5-turn cooldown. The other one was 3. One enemy at range 1 to 3, plus 5 to hit, 2 damage. If hit, the target gains rooted. They cannot take move actions. And she's got opportunity attack. After an adjacent enemy moves, if it is no longer adjacent, make a free melee
just attack. Just the standard.
Yeah, with one die. I will say that we'll get to Pluck in a minute, but one of his abilities is to make someone attack twice. So with if you get pretty lucky, because plus 3 is kind of hard to hit with sometimes. But if you get like a good roll where you hit, then have Pluck let you swing again, then you can hit somebody else to root a bunch of people around you. That's really annoying.
That's funny enough. Another one of Pluck's abilities is the ability to root somebody. So
yeah, so it's it all kind of builds together. But why don't you hit the next one? Oh, I didn't go over a stat. So 4 movement, which is pretty good. 15 AC, pretty average, and then 13 health, which is actually really high.
15 is actually pretty high for AC.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
And then 13 health is a lot. Is the second highest in the game. And there's only one 14, and that's Jack Mal with the Harpers.
Yeah, the Harpers. Okay, I thought so. Yeah. And then her 2 level up cards. You gain Aura of Warding. You gain plus 4 AC against non-adjacent attacks, so you have 19 against shots. Pretty good. Or Undying Sentinel. The first time you'd be defeated, set your life to 1 and exhaust this card. That can be pretty clutch. So
yeah,
both her level ups are actually like genuinely good in situations. So not bad. Let you take
the next. Yeah, I'll take the next one. And because we mentioned him already, and I think he pairs well, I'll go ahead and go with Pluck. So Pluck's an interesting one. Also for the record, Yvolda is a melee damage
type. Yes. Yep. Correct.
Pluck is a tactician. He's a bard. The exact kind of bard, I actually don't know.
Wild bard. Arrowed bard.
Arrow bard. He has a bonkin stick. He's got a club that hits somebody for melee range with plus 4 to hit for 2 damage. 2 damage is actually not terrible on a little support character, so it's fine. His ranged attack, though, is where the money's at. It's weird. It does no damage, but it is Spirit Snare. Standard action, out to range 4 with plus 4 to hit. And if you hit, the target gains rooted.
Excellent.
That's probably heard me mention it before on this cast. I love movement affecting shenanigans. So just being able to say, like, nope, your melee guy is stuck where he is, or no, your objective runner is stuck right where they are, that is massive. For his experience, he gains experience after he, or an extra experience after he uses a cooldown ability, which is not the best, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Especially he'll be using his probably each twice a game.
Yeah.
For his first one, he's got a bonus action for Blade Ward. That's bonus action with a 3-turn cooldown. One friendly at range 0 to 4, so you can target yourself. Target gains Blade Ward, which reduces damage from adjacent enemies by 1. Not super crazy, but it's a bonus action. It's pretty easy to throw out. And if you're getting attacked by like a bunch of, especially like AI enemies, like they'll usually do 1 damage automatically if you get that close to them.
Yeah, it's like you throw it in one of your high hit point guys just to add more hit points to them, theoretically, right? Like,
I think the real money here is coming up next. So we got Warrior's Tale. It's another bonus action with a 4-turn cooldown this time. Target 1 friendly at range 1 to 4, so not yourself. And the target makes a melee attack. There is a lot of strong melee attacks in many arrows, but Yvolda is probably the standout. Especially with it being a bonus action, you can Spirit Snare something that she's next to root it, and then do the bonus attack to whack it with plus 6 for 3 damage. And if you do somehow miss with one of these Yvolda combos you're pulling off, you can use his reaction, Bardic Inspiration. It's only a 3-turn cooldown, and After a friendly character at range 1 to 4 rolls tap die, you can just reroll them all. So if you catch a crit miss, or you just plain whiff out, nope, just try it again. Stat line goes, his abilities are awesome. Stat line's not that impressive. 14 AC and only 9 hit points, so he is pretty squishy, especially by many hero standards.
Yeah, his critical is a plus 1 damage, and after the attack, all friendlies at range 1 to 4 heal 1. So that's okay, yep. Sure.
And he'll be throwing that Spirit Snare out a lot because he doesn't need actions for any of his abilities.
Correct.
And you pan crit with it and do damage.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think he is definitely pretty solid, especially if you pair him with Evolda. Agreed. And his upgrade cards I have at the bottom of the stack. So his first one, he's got Mystical Connection. After you use a cooldown ability, you heal 1. That's not bad. I'm a little worried about if Plutch starts taking damage, he might just be dead already.
Yeah.
But if you can pull it off, it's nice. His other one here, he's got Tale of the Runaway. Save bonus action, and then you would spend it. One friendly character at range 1 to 4, and that character makes a speed 4 teleport.
That's incredible.
That's so good. It's awesome.
It's so good. I would definitely
choose that almost 100% of the time.
It's won me games of like teleporting to somebody away from somebody. It's great.
Yeah. The only downside of it is you can't target yourself, but it's still very strong.
All right. I'll go next.
That's a good boy.
So the Barbarian, aka Paul Maljax.
Yeah.
Paul Maljax. Close enough. I might call him Eagle, honestly enough, though. I try to talk to him about I'll reference what their classes, just because it's some of the names I just can't do. But for this guy's just called Eagle, and I'll get there. He'll see why in a minute if you don't already know. But so 4 movement, 12 AC, which is real low, but he's got 13 hit points, so like he doesn't really care. Great axe, one enemy at range 1 plus 4 to hit for 2 damage. Okay, it's all right, but critical is plus 1 damage or plus 2 if you're attacking with a melee basic attack. So he can do 4 on a crit, which is that's pretty big. Mm-hmm. His experience gain is gain 1 experience after you're attacked by an enemy. Cool, a lot of characters have that, like Meat Shields. That's his job, just to get hit.
Yep. He's a tank.
Oh.
Battery die?
No, it's all falling apart.
Battery die?
Don't jostle it, Evan. Don't jostle it.
Oh, no. Oh, that's going too fast.
You know, all right, they're spinning a little faster. That's all.
They're going to slide off the merry-go-round.
All right, that's good enough. You'll if you don't see them the first time, you'll see them the second time as they go by. We're working on this. Eagle's Flight. Bonus action, physical damage, 3 cooldown, move up to 3 spaces. Enemies cannot take reactions after this move. So this is a good like get out of jail or get into melee. Some monsters have like if you attack me, like I get to if you move into my range, I get to attack you, so he can jump that. The thing to note about this though is this is just move 3 spaces. So if you're jumping into difficult terrain, that is 2 movement. So he can't like you can jump into water and then that's it.
It's not a teleport. You walk.
Yeah, it's think of it like a walk. To me with jumping, all right, that's spinning fast.
Which is a weird description for an ability named Eagle's Flight, but you do actually just walk.
Wrong thing. Yeah, you do just walk. Oh, he's dead. Well, all right.
It says it's supposed to last for 6 hours and it lasted for like half an hour. But all right. All right. We'll figure that out. Eagle's Rage. Bonus action. Physical exhaust ability. Eagle gains Eagle's Rage. D4 deal plus one damage, reduce incoming damage by one, and enemies roll one die when attacking you. That's incredible. It's really like
that is so very strong.
He's gonna get hit, but like one die.
One die actually is probably like makes him one of the hardest. Even taking account, take the minus one damage, taking that out of it, just rolling one die, it's actually kind of hard to hit. Yeah. AC 12. It's a lot less reliable than advantage. Yeah.
Combat reflexes. After an enemy moves, if it is no longer adjacent, make a free melee basic attack against that enemy. So you get to use both dice. That's good. His upgrade cards are Brutal Critical. Your attacks are critical successes on a roll of 19 to 20. Your critical effect does an additional one. So he can deal five. He'll do five damage on a hit. Right, one, two, and then if he hits with melee basic,
plus three four,
and this is five. Yep. So we used to call this
six if Eagle's Rage is up.
Oh yeah, six. Damn, he can like two shot somebody, which is kind of crazy. Brutal Critical. We used to call it what was it? Improved Critical, I think used to be the name of that feat back in 3.5.
I think it's actually just called Brutal Critical in 5e now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I remember skeletons and skeletons, greater skeleton lords in there's this old D&D 3.5. Everyone
point and laugh at this old 3.5 man.
Yeah, I know. Look at you. Game Pool of Radiance, that's it. And like the skeletons have improved critical and so mad about it. Persistent Rage. Eagle's Rage. Persistent Rage. Refresh Eagle's Rage if it is exhausted. Eagle's Rage is now a two-turn cooldown. You probably only get to use it once, maybe twice if it's a longer game, but like that's still great. Like getting that special ability back.
Yeah, if you super can cool. And engineer the case to get two uses of Eagle's Rage.
That's
three if you really, really over like an 8-turn game if you really go for it. But yeah, it's far and away his best ability. If you can use it multiple times, that's really, really good. Also, he is a Vanguard. So he's the tank. I think he's solid enough. I'm a little let down just by his basic attack swing. A four plus four to hit for two damage is not quite as
kind of
good as most other bruisers, but yeah, it's not terrible.
All right,
so it's up to me. So I'm gonna go for more tricksy again. I'm gonna go for Snuck's Tree Friend. Snux is a druid of a type I don't know.
Of the kobold variety.
Yes, he is a kobold druid. He is the healer of the party. And he has a melee attack just to hit somebody with a sickle. Plus four to hit for two damage. Exactly the same as Pelmajet's Great Axe.
Seems legit.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously he has stuff above it. His range attack, I think, is a little bit more important. It's short range, only range 2 to 3, plus 4 to hit again for one damage. And if you hit, you move the target one space closer to you. It's to note, in Onslaught, opportunity attacks don't work like D&D, so forced movement does trigger them.
Yep.
And especially if you can make somebody get hit with, like, a big Yveldus swing or a boss attack.
Yeah, that's actually huge.
Huge flexibility. Or just yank somebody off an objective.
Yep. Super good.
Huge flexibility people have to worry about. His critical effect is plus one damage, and after the attack, you reduce the cooldown of your wild shape by one. Solid enough. I'm a fan of wild shaping. His bread and butter ability, though. Oh, also his experience ability. You gain an experience after you heal a target to its maximum hit points. I think that is definitely something he can do a lot, especially in the early game, just with that one health patching up some damage you take from mobs.
Absolutely.
Is real solid. So he'll level up pretty fast. And he'll do that with Goodberry. It's a bonus action on a one turn cooldown. Choose a friendly at range 0 to 2, so you can include yourself, and they just heal 1.
Pretty good.
Using done. And he'll be doing that every turn that he's not a bear.
Forever.
Yep. And speaking of becoming a bear, he can turn into a bear with wild shape. It's bonus action on a 4-turn cooldown. He heals 2 whenever he does it.
So you could heal yourself 2 full while as a bear to get that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He gets +1 to his speed when he does that, so he goes to speed 5. +2 to hit, and +1 damage with his melee attack, so he turns into a 6-3 when he's sprinting around as a bear. But you cannot use your cooldown abilities. Interesting to note, you can still Thorn Whip.
Yes.
As a bear.
It's bear's good, maybe like turn 1 or so just to get into position. But giving up Goodberry is that hurts. Goodberry's just so good.
Yeah. I don't know. Need is quite a brawler when he does turn into a bear, though. So if you... Oh, okay. That's actually a little bit of a weird thing. He hits pretty hard as a bear. Also, his reaction is just a plain opportunity attack, odd standard, nothing too special, unless he's a bear. He's plain old movement 4, just a 12 on the AC, which I believe is, it's tied for the lowest with Pommel Jets. And he's only got 10 health. So he is pretty squishy. And aside from healing 2, being a bear doesn't actually make him any tougher. So it is kind of a bit of a dangerous position for him to be in. But yeah, if nothing else, you can use it to take some positioning or absorb an AI hit and then just heal it back with your bear form.
Yep. Then whatever his level of abilities.
Yeah, his level of abilities. He's got 2. We'll start off with... I'll save that one for last. We'll go with Hawk Spirit first. Friendly characters at 0 to 2 have +2 to hit while attacking.
Okay.
That is obviously very good.
Yep.
But I think probably even better than that is Unicorn Spirit. And Goodberry heals 2 instead of 1.
I mean, they're both good.
They are both good.
I think I always take Goodberry, but there might be a position where I've got board advantage and I just need to kill things. And so, like, the +2 to hit becomes very...
I think Hawk Spirit's as the other way. I think it's if you're behind. If you need to swing for the fences, you go Hawk Spirit. If you want to keep the status quo going, you don't want your guys to be pumped out, go Unicorn Spirit and heal up the Goodberry.
Give someone a bonk. All right. Yeah. Next... Clonk Glowfist. Okay. So old Clonk here. He is a monk. 5 movement, which is pretty excellent, very monk-like. 13 AC and then 12 hit points, which is quite a bit. 12 isn't anything to
sneeze. 12 is a good bit, yeah.
Unarmed strike. Standard action, melee, 1 enemy at range 1, +5 to hit, 2 damage. Pretty good. Sunbolt, standard action, melee. 1 enemy at range 2 to 3, +5 to hit, 2 damage. Okay, pretty good.
Yeah, it's the exact same.
I'll take it. He's just throwing his fist at you. Critical. After the attack, make another melee or ranged attack, rolling 1 die. That's pretty good. I've had it like go off where I've gotten to hit, like I hit a crit and then I hit a crit again, and that just keeps going. So like you can like really just kind of keep going. It's rare, but like when it happens, it feels pretty awesome. His level up ability is gain 1 XP after you defeat an enemy character. So that's an enemy character. That's not like a mob, right? It has to actually be like a hero.
I think enemy character is anything.
Okay, that's anything. All right.
But it's not. I believe that's anything, but there's some sort of exemption for bosses. But yeah, I think it's the other way around. Characters.
Flurry of Blows, standard action, physical, 3 cooldown. Make a melee physical attack against all adjacent enemies. Each target is a separate attack. Pretty good. More chances to crit. Searing Sunburst, standard action, physical, cooldown 3. One space at range 2-3, plus 5 to hit. Blast radius 1, 2 damage. So he's got a lot of like crowd clearing effects, which is kind of cool. Then opportunity attack is just roll one die if they move away from you. He's pretty he's okay. He was my favorite for a while, but it's hard sometimes if your opponent knows what he does, they just won't ever clump. And so he kind of gets a little weaker, but if they don't know, or mobs don't really care, right? You can move mobs, but sometimes your AI just tells them to beeline for you. That's when that's good. His 2 level up abilities, improve Sun Soul. Your attacks are critical successes on a roll of 18 to 20. That's super good, especially with that.
That's roll very again. Huge for him.
The next is Sun Shield. After you are damaged by a melee melee standard attack, deal 1 damage to the attacker, which is okay. It's interesting. Do you gamble on that big rollout to try to get those extra crits, or do you just be happy with the 3 or 4 damage you'll dish out, which isn't nothing?
I think I'd usually take improved Sun Soul for the higher crit chance, unless because you can read the table though. If there's a situation where 1 damage is gonna make a difference, if it'll automatically finish off a mob for you or something, or if it will if whoever he's attacking, even if it if they have 3 health left and it takes them from a 2 punch to a 1 punch if they swing at you. That situations like that, I might take it, but I think normally I just go for the crits.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. And last one.
All right. Last one is Brynn 2X, a ranger of some type. To the model. Clonk is your ranged damage, and Brynn is going to be your hybrid. She has a fear. She's a Fearbald, I believe.
Yes. I thought she was a Bugbear, but maybe it's a Fearbald.
No, you might be right. I think she's a Bugbear. You are correct. She has a melee strike with a hand axe for plus 4 to hit for 2 damage. Pretty standard. She can also throw that same axe for out to range 3 for plus 3 to hit for 2 damage. And her critical effect is just like Pamal Jack's, plus 1 damage or plus 2 if you're using your melee attack. Her experience bonus is probably the best one. Just gain 1 at the end of your activation.
Pretty good.
Hard to beat that. And then her abilities here, we've got dual wield as a bonus action on a 3-turn cooldown. She can just make another melee attack. Solid.
Yeah.
Pushing 4 damage out in a turn is consistently
pretty good.
Impressive. She also has Whirlwind as a standard action on a 5-turn cooldown. So this one's probably only once. It's plus 4 to hit in an area of 2 around you for 2 damage. However, this attack does not target friendly characters. So she basically will fireball herself.
Yep.
But
pretty good.
Yeah. Then for a reaction, it's just a standard opportunity attack. Nothing special there. She has speed 4, 14 AC, which is average, and 12 hit points, which is a little beefy. For her abilities, we've got favored enemy, plus 2 armor class, and plus 2 to hit with your melee and ranged weapons. Nothing game changing, but consistency all around. And then I think I would probably go for feral senses, and that's just plus 1 damage to your melee and range attacks.
A straight plus 1 damage is hard to beat, though. Plus 2 AC is not bad, putting her at 16.
Yeah,
that's
that damage though, with the ability to just dump out 6 damage.
Oh yeah,
in your turn is
pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's so I'll do a little rundown. I've played a lot of games with mini heroes. They suffer from only having one way to like fix dice, or like Zhentarim kind of suffers from that too. I mean, they all do, I guess, except Harpers. Harpers have the way to like fix dice with different abilities. But they have this like, you want to do these huge swings, and if you roll a one, it's like, oh gosh, like here we go. But they're like,
I think Pluck is the only one in the game right now that can save you from a crit fail.
Yes. Can't Sparkle Bay with her add two to a die? Oh no, you rolled a natural one.
Yeah.
So it, you can't mod that. Okay. Yes, I believe so. Like they're, when they turn on, man, like if you have a good run, they're like the gamblers faction, if I've ever seen one. I know they like the beatdown, but they're like if you're gonna like ride high and just kind of like go for those big swings, like they'll chop things down pretty good. But along with gambling, you'll start to understand that there's gonna be times when you just miss, and that sucks. And then having to time Pluck, you become very reliant on Pluck. It's like when you make a list, it's like you take Pluck immediately, you take Tree Friend, and then it's whoever you want after that. I like the Paladin, and then maybe the Barbarian. I mean, they're all like, there's not one of these characters who I think just sit out most of the time. Like the Druid for Harper sits out a lot, unless it's like a specific like mission where he can really be the playmaker with the Bramble Wall.
Yeah.
But these guys, there's an argument for any of them, really. So I think they're like overall pretty good. It is auspicious that they don't have a ranged.
You have ranged. You have Plomp. He is ranged 3.
Yeah. Oh, it's like 2-3, 2-3, 2-3, and I think Plux is 1-4.
1-4. He's the longest range, but it does no damage.
Yeah, it's I'm hoping. I know the latest expansion didn't show any archers, but I'd like to see like, I don't know, like a ranger, like a archer ranger kind of character come to the faction. That'd be cool.
We can add a little bit to this faction though. So, what cell swords are you looking at?
Honestly, it's a tough call, but I might take if I'm gonna go all in on the Paladin, I'll take Drom, the tortoise fighter, Tortle or whatever they're however I pronounce it. So being able to so Hill Ruin's okay because he can just take a beating, but it's his ability to root. Target is rooted. He does bonus damage, right? Grapple. One enemy at range 1, plus 6 to hit, 2 damage. If hit, the target is rooted. So you can root to go along to get those big chops in with your Paladin. Tavern Brawler, he hurts people who are slowed or rooted around him. There's like, I feel like he's got some good synergy in there.
Yeah, I definitely think he pairs well in the Pluck Yavolda combo.
I think it's a little handshaky, but I don't mind it.
Looking at the others, I mean, Molly Farhill is a tactician that takes the space of Pluck.
Ugh.
Unfortunately, his Pluck's pretty important to many heroes. Hengaku is melee damage. They already have a bunch of melee damage, and the actual melee damage person is Yavolda. Yeah. Probably not making that swap. So I think the only other real option is the Paladin, Gift of Coldforge, for range damage, which is quote-unquote, she's actually many arrows range damage of range 3.
Yeah.
But she does hit pretty hard, and she is pretty tanky. So I think if I was making a roster, I would put both Kithra and Drom in the 7.
Yeah.
And I'd probably cut Plonk.
Yeah, I think so. Plonk. Yeah. I agree.
It does like kind of suck losing your speed 5, but I really don't think he does enough. He just does damage, and he doesn't even do like that much damage.
He was my favorite when I started using them, but you said the dwarf, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me get there we go. A little back to back. Man, she's got a gut. Not that model. That's okay. So yeah, I want to like him. I guess there's some scenarios where it's like, oh man, there's a lot of like kobolds on the map all the time, and being able to just like mass destroy them might be okay.
But if you, I mean, I wouldn't, if you value that speed 5, depending on what you're looking at, I wouldn't be like super opposed to him staying in. And I think at that point, you'd have to make a pick on which sellsword you wanted. Brynn is interesting if you can get her to level up, which she will eventually with just her passive, but burst damage for 6 is rare, but
hey, you can deal.
It's tough.
It's with your paladin and Yolanda and Pluck, you can deal 6 pretty easy. Yeah. 2+6 to hit for 3 damage, like flat, flat. And God forbid you get a crit or something. And then you're getting like there's. It's not like, not only are they getting hit for 6, but they're stuck. Right, yeah. They're just like they're stuck. They can't even get away. So they're just getting chopped down by you. So I don't think they're bad. I just think that, getting the rest of their faction helps. Getting the rest of their faction, like a lot of these conversations we're having, will just change completely once everyone's got all their factions. I mean, even with Zhentarim, I really like that new bard quite a bit. Being able to just daze people is incredibly strong. Like, hey, you don't get to take standard actions. That means you can't attack, right? Like, that's really super good. That's a blast effect. We'll get to them probably in a later episode. Next episode's probably going to be the Benefactor. We'll kind of go through that and go through some of the cards and that, and then we'll probably have like 2 episodes for Gen Con, I think, and then
I think so.
And then we'll do Benefactor, and then we'll talk about what we're playing for Gen Con, and then we'll have a Gen Con wrap up after that, and then I'll be at Nova that month too. Unfortunately, no Onslaught events, which is fine. I'm already signed up for way too much for all these events. Like, day 1 is Onslaught, day 2 is Legion, day 3 is Shatterpoint, just to like hit all the events I want to play. We'll be back next time with a Benefactor. Maybe we'll do an unboxing or some. I'll get my models painted so you can actually show you what comes in the box. Just from what I bought from the site, everything I buy is all the WizKids models. One, because I feel like it's just like you can use any model you want. I have no, this is not a moral grandstand of just buy WizKids product, but it's just easy for me to walk into my local and just be like, because I don't have a resin printer or 3D printer or anything. So I'm just like, yeah, $7 for that beholder that's pre-primed and built. Okay. Like, yeah, I can't even like beat that. Right. Like, I'm like, all right. So I'm trying to stick to just WizKids models. Cause I think A, they might appreciate that. And B, it's, I'm actually interested in this whole, I played a lot of mini games. I did some 40K. I do a lot of Legion. I've done Arena Rex, Dead Zone, so many games I've forgotten, Rune Wars. So I've been in the miniature realm for a while, and I think they're not like hard pushing. They hard push miniatures, but it's not as like bad here, right? It's like, yeah, you want to stay with a faction. Their starter is like probably $60 if you split a box with a friend, and then you get the other set for like $34, then you're good. And then maybe you buy many arrows, and they're pre-built, pre-primed. Pre-painted, so it's I'm gonna try to stick with those, and if I can't find one for it, then that's a shame on them. If they're selling a product that they say I need a miniature for and they don't have one for, then we can give a clap back. But the biggest issue with the Benefactor is the Cave Defenders pack is just sold out. It's just gone. That came
turns out D&D is a popular game.
Yeah, that came with an ogre, 2 bugbears, and a 3 or 4 kobolds, which kobolds we already got, but the whole point was like you buy that, then you buy a boule model and then a beholder, and you're like, you got them all.
Do you? And you said that a few times now, so I'll end bullet? The podcast on this note. Well, that's something to ask you. Do you have confirmation? Because it sounds a lot fancier when you say it, but I've always heard it as bullet.
I don't know. I just, when I looked at it, for whatever reason, my little thing in my head just said Boulet. Like, sounds more. Yeah, maybe.
So it has a very thin, curled mustache.
I mean, yes, the Boulet. Release the Boulets as I eat, drink my jam. I can't freelance. No. I know. Oh. Come on. I was going to say something else. It's fine. I blew it. But anyway, thanks for listening, folks. We'll be back with the Benefactor next, and I'll have the models painted, so you can take a look at what I've done to those. And we'll give you some tips on how to paint them. They're not too bad, honestly. So I might actually do the Ogre framework model and then just find a Marvel's or Neville's or whatever their like kit of pre-primed, pre-built models are. I've seen some for the Bugbears and just use my same kobolds. But anyway,
yeah.
Thanks for watching. Everyone, stay rad, and we'll see you in the dungeon.
See ya.
Sword and Board is brought to you by the Fifth Trooper Network.